Good evening, everybody. It's so nice to be back here. I must say, you know, we haven't been here for a while, and I just look around at these beautiful new faces and just like to say welcome to Josh Jen. I've been with my wife, Laureen. I want you to stand up quickly. In Josh... We've been in Josh Jen for 20 years now, so we've seen a lot of the faces, familiar faces over here. But it's nice to be back. It's been a while. So, Father, we thank you for this evening. We trust that your Holy Spirit's going to come and penetrate our hearts, work deeply in us, speak to us, change us, shape us, and mold us. Nothing else can do it but you, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. So if you can put the first slide up for me, 1 Corinthians 13. I started prepping a preach on love. You know, everybody likes to talk about love and blah, 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 love. Love is this, love is that. And this is arguably the most used scripture at any wedding. If you go to a wedding, the pastor's going to read this to the bride and the groom, and they're going to stare at each other with starry eyes, and, you know, I'm that. Are we just going to have this? And if you're getting your renewing your marriage vows, they're going to use that as well. So let's just read it. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every situation. So I look at this and I'm like, whoa. Okay, some pastors, they say, like, okay, you've got to put yourself in those shoes. So Marius is patient and kind. Andrew is not jealous or boastful. Clarence does not demand his own way. You can see why I tossed that preach. Didn't work. So people say, okay, who can do that? Jesus. That's Jesus. Eh? But Paul's writing to us. He's telling us that that's what you must be. And then I asked myself, Lord, why am I struggling with this? Why? You know, love should be easy. You know, we all say we love each other. And it's easy just to say, you know, I love going to movies. I love my car. I love my dog. I love my wife. Not in that order. But with my best intentions, I fall horribly short when it comes to measuring against that. The Lord led me to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Oh, my hat. Just take stock of that quickly. My heart, not this thing that's pumping, the spirit inside your heart, this thing, flesh, is deceitful above all things. I came to realize, you know, love is at war in our hearts. There's a battle raging in our hearts at the moment. And it's fighting for different things and different circumstances. And it's difficult to, like, lay your hands on what is it? Where am I going to get victory? And I wish I could say to you right now that this war no longer rages in my heart. But it's still raging in my heart, even to this day. My love tends to go to some places where it shouldn't. And you will recognize as we go through this preach that your love is raging a battle in your heart as well. So we're going to camp around this scripture, 1 John 4:20, for a while. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we've not seen? So the word love in this scenario is the Greek word agape. And throughout the scriptures that I'm going to be referring tonight, it's all agape. Agape, I'll give you the expression, there it is. It's the unconditional sacrificial love to God and for one another. Agape is the kind of love that is felt by a person willing to do anything for another, including Sacrificing themselves. Okay, who's willing to sacrifice himself for me quickly? Marius? No? Yeah, I thought not. Without expecting anything in return. It is God's love for humans as well as humans' reciprocal love for God. There's two other kinds of love. Eros, that's where the erotic comes in, you know, husband, wife. And there's the other one's called philo, and that's just like a loose friendship. Yeah, so those are the different ones. But throughout my preach, the loves are all agape. So I'd like you to remember that. Okay. So the first bit of war that's raging in my heart is like, I need to be something bigger than what I am at the moment. I desire bigger gifts than I want to be. I want to be like Luke. I want to be like Andrew. I want to be like Andrew East, but I'm nowhere near that. But you know what? I would also like to boast about who I am, you know, what I've got, my talents, my skills, what I've achieved, what I've accomplished. But that means nothing. It amounts to nothing. Because every good and perfect gift that I have comes from God and God alone. Okay? But what my response to that needs to be a heart of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for the gifts that you've given me. Thank you for this new day. Thank you that I have a beautiful wife. Thank you that you call me son. And it's out of a heart of gratefulness that our love will get stronger and better. Now I ask you this, does that gratitude grip your heart on a Monday, a Wednesday, a Friday? We give love, and we love because God loved us first. When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that goes through your mind? Good God, it's another day. Well, thank you, God, it's another day. See, God wants us to wake up with a thankful heart. Thank you, Jesus, for this new day. Thank you that I've got a life that I can live, a life in abundance. Thank you that I'm called a son in your house, as I said earlier on. It's also a war of contradiction. So let's go back to that scripture again, 1 John 4:20. We read it again. Remember agape. If anyone says, I love God, but hey, it's a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if you don't love people we can see, how can we love God who we cannot see? So if you sit and look at the person to your left and your right, do you really love them? Say, I love you, and mean it with your heart. Remember, if you're saying it and you don't mean it, you're a liar. So if you're all honest with one another, when we read that scripture, if someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love the people we see, and remember the second commandment, you know, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. What's the second greatest command? Love your brother as you love yourself, or love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? Look again at the person next to you, not your wife. And you're like, oh, I don't know, I can love that, okay. He's a bit rough around the edges. So you see that there's a contradiction in our hearts, this war of love that's contradicting ourselves. Because we say we love God. We sang beautiful worship songs to God this morning. I love how we kicked off. That song was amazing, an old hymn. Yeah, it was amazing. But in us, in each one of us, there's an irritation. In each one of us, there's an impatience. In each one of us, there's jealousy, greed, and selfishness with respect to the people that God has placed in our lives. Now, just think about it. The people that God has placed in your life, your spouse, colleagues, your friends, your brothers, or your sisters. Have you displayed any of those things that I just read out to you towards them in the last day, week, month, year? Yes. You see, it's very easy to say, I love God. But when it comes to your agape love, that self-sacrificing love, are you displaying that to your brother? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Are you showing agape love to that person, self-sacrificing? I'll give up anything I said to somebody the other day, if somebody walks in you with a gun and says, one life, and then I'll leave the rest of you. I'll just take all your cell phones, all your money. I'll stick up my hand and say, take me. That's how much I love you. I'm willing to sacrifice my life for you, and that's serious. So I thought, you know, the love that exists in my heart is first a war between love of self and then love of others. But it's not. The real war is the love of self and the love of God. Do I really love God the way I say I love God? Do you really love God the way you say you love God? Honestly. I'll be a little bit vulnerable here. I'll tell you a true story. I was sitting in a meeting, and one of the guys looked at me, and he said to me, Kim, why doesn't anybody like you? That like hit me like a 10-ton bus. I mean, like, oh my, where did that come from? But you see, the first thing I do is try and justify. Well, I've been working hard, I'm tired, I've become prickly, you know, I'm suffering from depression, and blah, 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 blah. The problem is that I didn't love the way God wanted me to love the people. And if there's anybody over here that I've hurt in terms of the words that I've said, the actions that I've made, I'd like to repent and apologize to you. And if it's like really a big issue, come and speak to me afterwards, because I'd still love to repent with you and to you. And I thought it was a big deal. And then Jesus said to me, well, it's not such a big deal, Kim, if somebody says something like that to you. Remember the people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't like Stephen. And guess what they did to him? They took him out and they stoned him. And whilst he was being stoned, he looked up to the heavens and said, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. How many of us will do that? Then he said, what about me? I loved you. I came from heaven. I sacrificed my life for you. Nobody loved me either. They hung me on a cross. You know, love believes the best. But the heart of the matter is, for me, is the reason I don't love people in my life the way I should is that I don't love God the way I claim to. Okay? I'll say it again. The reason I don't love people in my life the way that I should is because I don't love God the way that I claim I do. Because I can say to you guys, I love God. And you go, yeah, Kim loves God. But do I really love God? You know in my heart of hearts that I love God. Well, maybe he does because he's a full-time pastor, whatever, elder on team and everything. But deep in my heart, you don't know what the depth of that love is. You don't know. And it could be superficial. You know, I could put on a brave face and I can preach about love, but I don't love God. And when somebody says, like, nobody loves you, or nobody likes you, why doesn't anybody like you? So every time I go into a meeting and I sit down and I look around, been in Josh Den for 20 years, and I look, geez, Tom doesn't like me, Morris doesn't like me, Michelle doesn't like me, nobody likes me. Flip. And God says, change you. Change you, Kim. It's not them. Forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Change you. If you can show them the love that I show you, then they will like you. But if you come with that like attitude, aggression, you're too businesslike, or you're too demanding, blah, 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 whatever, how can they like you? How can they love you? So, Kim, you must change. So, you see, it's all about the center of the heart. What is at the center of your heart? And most of the time, we're saying, me. It's mine. I want it. It's, you know, it's me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity. And that's raging a war to sit on the throne in the center of your heart. It really is. It's all about me. There's that song, All About Me, eh? It's all about me. It's not all about you. The only thing or the only person that can be in the center of your heart is God himself. God, take the center of my heart. Sit on the throne in my heart so that I can learn to love like you love. Because without you, that agape love will never exist. I will just feel it like you. And that's just like superficial. I love you, Clarence. But I've never had you around for supper. Do I really love you? Supper means a lot. You see, our greatest problem of love exists inside of me and not outside of me, as I said early on. So you can't look at me and say, Kim's a man deeply in love with God. You don't know. See, I need the loving rescue of my Father in heaven. If I don't get the loving rescue from my Father in heaven, I'm going to struggle to love people. Then there's a war of deception. If somebody would ask you, what does a mature Christian look like? What does a mature Christian look like? I'm not talking good looks like Marius or me. What does a mature Christian look like? Yeah, you'd say, look, I'm in a healthy, solid Christian. And you look at the external things that are here at the moment. No, well, a mature Christian is faithful. He attends church every Sunday. No, he does. A mature Christian is a person who gives regularly. He throws his wallet in the tithing box. Of course he does. A mature Christian knows his Bible. Of course he does. A mature Christian gives himself to ministry. Of course he does. The problem with all of that is, these are things on the outside. They're not on the inside. And God is looking at the inside of our hearts today. And they're not false standards, believe me. Love all of us to be all of that. But our problem is that we can do these things and still not love God the way he says. We can do these things and still not love our brothers and sisters the way God wants us to. Remember what Jesus said, it's one of the scariest verses in the Bible. He says, you'll come to me and you'll say, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. We healed the sick. We raised the dead. We were at church on Sundays, I gave, and everything. And God, Jesus will say to you, go away from me, I never knew you. That's because you didn't agape love him. You didn't agape love your brothers. And then what happens between you and your spouse behind closed doors? You and your friend behind closed doors? You and your colleague behind closed doors? What happens there? If you want to know your true quality of relationship with God, just reflect on what happened. Some of you on the way to church had an argument and put on your game face when you came up. We find, don't you say a word. But you can imagine the depth of your love for your brother and for God if you look at your relationship with your spouse, with your brothers, and with your sisters. Because how can we possibly say that we love God when we struggle to love the person nearest to us? So I'm married to Laureen for 43 years. She's a beautiful woman. I'll marry her 1,000 times over. But she's going deaf. Now, a lot of guys are like, yeah. A lot of guys are saying, oh, that resonates with me. No, no, she's hearing impaired. So just let's sort that out. She's got two hearing aids. So when she wakes up in the morning, she asked me, what day is it? So I said, it's Thursday. And she says, are you thirsty? No, it's Thursday. See, love is not irritable. But just how quickly my love moved to irritation. How quickly do you get irritated with those who are closest to you? Your spouse, your children, you know, when your husband, when he gets dressed and leaves those dirty underpants on the floor and you've got to go behind him and pick it up. Why don't you ever pick up your undies? You don't do that, eh, Yaka? No. Yeah, you don't do that. When you guys, you know, you've got kids, some of you guys are kids in kids' class at the moment. What did you say to them today with the impatience, irritation? Was there humility? Was there love? Was there kindness? Was there generosity? What was there? Was it agape love? Or do you feel that actually, right now, I need to go and apologize to them because I didn't love them the way God asked me to love them? You see, our hearts will remain like this because it's a selfish heart. And it can only be transformed through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in and touches your heart, that's when transformation takes place. That's a divine encounter, divine intervention when the Holy Spirit comes. Without the Holy Spirit, we can talk all day long about this. Oh, no, I'm going to love. When I go home, I'm really going to agape love. And then your wife comes out and the food's cold. Why is the food cold? And there goes agape love out the window. You see, when the love of God rules your life, then you will love others as God wants you to love. That's true faith. And there's a scripture, 1 John 4:21, it goes on there. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, it's not like my butt, it's like you. You guys are my brothers and my sisters. Now, God's saying, I need to agape love you guys, and you guys need to agape like me, love me. So if you don't love me, you're going to have to learn to love me, because that's God's word. Amen? Then there's a war on our calling. Oh, my hat. You may not have been called to be an elder in the church, or a deacon, or community leader, or kids' church worker. You may not have been called to full-time ministry. But please hear me. You have all been called to love. Doesn't matter what you are, God's asking you. Your inescapable call is to love. That's the thing that differentiates us from them. Us being inside the church versus those who aren't in church, who don't know Jesus Christ yet. And how can the people come into this church if we don't love each other? They're going to look at us when they come in there. Oh, we just look like everybody else. But if we really agape love one another, they say, wow, there's something different about these guys. I want to be part of this. Look how they love one another. Self-sacrificial love. So we have been called to love with different people in different places. And we trust that the Holy Spirit comes and does a work in our hearts. Remember when Jesus was facing his last few moments with his disciples, he prayed in John 17:23. Father, I pray that these may be one as we are one, so that the world may know you sent me. Oh, my hat. And I think to myself, Kim, how stupid, how blind could you have been to not trust God and his Holy Spirit to come and transform you so that I could be more like him and project his love to the people. Then they may start liking me. It's not them. It's not them. It's 100% me. But you see, he also wants you to do that. Each one of us. To our family members, to our parents, to our siblings. You see, when people live lives that are selfish, self-absorbed, self-orientated, competitive, angry, and irritable, and impatient, when those very same people start living in harmony, they're no longer impatient, they're patient, they love one another, then you know that the Lord's grace and his Holy Spirit has come over you and you've learned to love once again. I do believe that God has done a work in my heart. I don't say this arrogantly or proudly. You can ask Laureen, maybe she can testify. God has done an amazing work in my heart in terms of loving people. People come before me, whereas I used to come before people. And God softened my heart so much to look at people through a different lens. Love them like I love you, Kim. John 13:35 says this: by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have a love for one another. Can you look at the person next to you again and say, actually, I do love you, now that I think about it? Finally, the battle is over when love gets right to the heart of who God is. God is love. 1 John 4:8 says this: But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. How can you say you love God who you can't see? And you say you love your brother who you can see, you liar. And God loves you, and he loves me so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, as the ultimate sacrifice to die on a cross for you and me. Think about that. I wouldn't have even considered in my wildest dreams to take my children and sacrifice them for anybody. Nah, not a chance. I'll die for them. Protect them at all costs. And they're not good kids. In fact, they were naughty. My son stole my car, and I don't know what all they did. Only you heard years later all the naughty stuff that they did. Drinking and mucking around. Told Laureen. They never told me. They told Laureen. They were sinful, just as I was sinful. But yet I would still die for them. Just as Jesus looks at each one of us and looks at you and says, you're dirty. You have sinned. You are not worth anything. But because my Father asked me, I'm going to lay my life down so that you can spend eternity with my Father and myself. That's just an amazing story. It's the centerpiece message of the gospel. 1 John 4, 9-11 says this. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. Wow. I'm going to ask you again, if you had a look into the depths of your heart right now and say, can I walk out of this place with an agape love? Or I'm going to walk out with another kind of love, a superficial love, to say to everybody, hey guys, I love you, cheers, I'm on my way. But that's not heartfelt. It's not that sacrificial, giving love. So some of you could be sitting here right now, and you say, actually, Kim, you're right. We did have an argument on the way to church today, or we had an argument over breakfast this morning, or I did spank my kid and I got a little bit out of hand, or I did do this, I did do that. And God wants us to repent for that now. We cannot change our hearts if we sit here and walk out and say, oh, that preacher was average. God wants us to change our hearts. He wants to see that fruitfulness. And the fruitfulness will come through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you stand up and you go to somebody, and I go to Laureen, and I say, Laureen, I repent for hurting you. I repent for all the bad things I've done in my life towards you. God forgives me. My heart starts transforming into a heart that mirrors his. Amen? So may we be a people that cause the world to look at us and say, I don't know what these people are about, but I want what they have. Look how they love one another. Look how they love one another. It's not just about coming to church on a Sunday. It's not just about going to community on a Wednesday night. It's real love, sacrificial love. The final scripture, and we can pray, is Matthew 6:14-15, which is the scariest scripture in the Word. If you don't know what the scariest scripture is, make a note of this one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Which means there's a no entry sign to the door of heaven. Any unforgiveness in your heart, prayers unanswered. Any unforgiveness in your heart, you're not going to spend eternity with God. You're going to go to hell. Sorry, I have to say that, but that's the truth. God wants us to live a life are forgiveness and an agape love. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's convicting and touching hearts right now. I pray, Lord, that as this word goes out, that people will stand now. If they feel convicted in the Lord, and they say, I need to go and apologize to that person. I need to go and apologize to that person. I need to go and repent. I would like you to do that now, if that's you. Each one of you should be standing up and saying sorry to somebody. I really believe that. Because none of you are carrying the true heart of agape love. So Lord, forgive me. And to the people that I hurt, I'm so, so sorry. I can give you 1,000 excuses why it happened, but none of them are good enough. I'm wrong. I was wrong. Thank you for the guys that are standing up. Really, I'm super proud of you. Father, I thank you for these that have stood up. Lord, you've impressed somebody on their hearts that they need to go and seek forgiveness for and with. Lord, in this moment, I pray that as they say, please forgive me, I repent of this, that you'll transform their hearts into that loving heart of yours. Not their hearts. Kill that war that's in my heart and just give me your heart to love people as you want them to be loved. Fill us with an agape love, Lord, each one of us that are sitting here, particularly these that are standing. And whilst your heads are bowed, I just want to say, you know, we said that Jesus sent his only son to die on the cross for us. And you might say, look, Kim, this preach is difficult. You know, I don't know if I could love like that. Well, that's why God sent his only son to die for us. So we can be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, so we can practice agape love. Because without that, it's not going to happen. So you might say, Kim, please, I need to meet the person of Jesus because I want to change. I don't want to remain where I am at the moment. If that is you, just raise your hand. I'd love to pray with you. There's a gentleman with his hand raised there. Thank you, sir, for raising your hand. And Lord, finally, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for their love. I thank you, Lord, that you are unifying us as one. You want us to be unified. Where there's unity, you command a blessing, Lord. And I pray that this congregation is blessed richly. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.